Right, g'day, Money Miners. Monday, 22nd of May, and we are elaborating on our little impromptu Saturday episode covering the latest improved offer from Silver Lake to St. Barbara for the Leonora assets. Travis,
still not happy about that, mate.
I was about to apologise again for pulling you. I don't even know if I might have pulled you out of bed. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, mate, but the Money Miners needed some info, and much to our, I guess, disappointment today, St. Barbara haven't come back with anything yet.
Well, that,
just saying they received it.
Acknowledging receipt, which is buying some time, I think.
Yeah, so and that was sort of going to – things haven't really developed yet. Not much share price fluctuation for Genesis Silver Lake. They've been a bit up and down today, but nothing considerable. It seems that all the market and all – parties are waiting for the so-called dust to settle and wait for St. Barbara to respond. Nothing
mate,
has
just
been
because nothing
yet.
Nothing major's happened on the ASX today doesn't mean the Money of Mine team don't have some great insights for the Money Miners.
Well, we can pull some rabbits out of the hat today, no doubt. So, look, if you haven't, we won't go too much more into the deal itself specifics. Head back to Saturday's episode. Have a listen to that. That went over what the new offer is. Essentially, the cash component is exactly the same for Genesis and St. Barbara, and there is a premium on the Silver Lake deal based on the scrip component. Depending on the and based on today's value, there is, I think, we've yielded an 11% premium, taking into account break fees. So let's get into it. Okay, and we're going to go over, I guess, the scenarios, Trav. Like, there's multiple scenarios here, and each scenario has reasons and certain components to it. So
this is the work of Matty Michael. He's done some game theory here.
I was thinking of getting a family tree happening, branches off, like
scenario analysis,
like a bloody, like a processing, a processing map. So okay, first, now this is whether the we can vote on the likelihood of this, but first scenario is St. Barbara deny due diligence to Silver Lake, which we are waiting on to see if they will grant due diligence or deny them due diligence.
Yeah, this one feels like the most likely, you know, next step to me, Matty. They're probably going to highlight the conditionality as the sort of the basis for it not having a pathway to become a superior offer. And if they do that, then you know, your scenario sort of goes into it. But I see this as the most likely next step.
And the thing that I guess underpins this, or the thing that isn't underpinning it, the lack of the strategy that Silver Lake are going to employ if they do get this Leonora asset. So there's no, they haven't given an indication pre-due diligence of how they're going to make Gwalia work. What they're saying is once we do due diligence, we then will disclose our strategy on how this is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, like the normal process for getting hold of, or, you know, for acquiring an asset is, you indicate value with very minimal information, just whatever public information is. And then after you've indicated value, you get access to DD. And I think really underpinning all of this hostility is the fact that Silver Lake feel like, you know, that conversation was never really had with them.
Yep, and because Gwalia is by itself bleeding cash, you won't be able to fill the Gwalia mill by itself. So I guess both parties have a different argument saying, well, the Genesis side, and I guess, well, you'd say the St. Barbara, you nearly class Genesis and St. Barbara the one side, saying that they have a strategy on how this will work. Silver Lake are saying, no, we won't disclose or give a strategy until we've been let in the door to do DD. So it just seems like that's putting a bit of uncertainty on that side.
Totally.
From my thing. So, look, yet to be determined. The other option, St. Barbara grant due diligence to Silver Lake. Now, this two-week DD timeline, a lot of people have said find it very hard for St. Barbara, Silver Lake to think they could do DD in 2 weeks. I would assume that going through this, they would have a pretty good understanding and a pretty good pretty good knowledge of what they're going to do with the post DD. So I think if they've gone this far, there would be highly unlikely that they're going to do DD and not go through with it. And so the 2-week timeline is on Silver Lake to get this done, because if they do not get it done within that period before, I think it was at June 20 when the St. Barbara vote on the Genesis deal. So if they don't get it done before, then the Genesis deal gets voted on and there's no superior proposal because they haven't done the DD. So yeah, the pressure's on them.
And that the argument of Silver Lake is, like, what's the downside to granting us DD? I think we can speak to a bit of what the potential downside might look like, or what those, you know, the rational fears of the St. Barbara board might be by actually granting DD, and we'll get to that a bit further down. But yeah, you're right. Like, and I think, you know, Silver Lake, they articulate that they've given a list of what they'll require during the DD period to St. Barbara already. And they highlight that they're all pretty damn reasonable things to provide in the ordinary course of business. So, you know, there's sort of, if they went down the pathway providing DD, then St. Barbara should be prepared to open the door, given the fact they've got a list of what's actually required there.
So you mentioned before, Trav, about regarding the DD, that they made the advances to St. Barbara over the previous 12 months. We can infer that they didn't provide a number or a non-binding offer, but they wanted.
I'm not sure we know that. Yeah.
Or we can. Yeah, I guess we can assume. You could assume, possibly, but they weren't allowed to do. They weren't given the opportunity to do DD in that previous period where it wasn't on such a tight timeline. So there's probably a bit to take away.
That's the Silver Lake narrative. Yeah, is that they've made multiple approaches over the last 12 months and have never. And they've never resulted in any meaningful discussion, and never had available to them, you know, what's really kind of under the hood that you'd normally just look at when you're conducting DD.
Why do you think? Why do you think this is the case? I know we're probably rehashing stuff we've talked about already, but it's a very important point, because as a St. Barbara board, not allowing another party in to possibly increase the value for the shareholders.
It's a super strange one, in all honesty, Matty. Like, especially at the point, you know, when the corporate deal was cut up, so you can understand why Silver Lake didn't get a look in when it was a corporate deal, right? It's a recommended scheme. All that stuff makes sense. But when it became an asset deal, when it became the sale of the Leonora assets, right? The real question is, did Silver Lake get a phone call, and was there an actual kind of, you know, sale process or even just, you know, some sort of sounding for indicative bids of the Leonora assets at that point in time? I think that's the you know, the fair and valid kind of, you know, critique that Silver Lake would have of the process, is they feel like this became a sale of assets and it was immediately sort of, you know, an exclusive sale because their corporate deal was sort of torn up and they didn't get a real look at it and there was no sort of proper price discovery process.
So that process, I think, would have definitely happened if that corporate deal wasn't in existence. And there, I feel like there was that follow-on from the corporate deal. It's like, well, we've now done all the work with Genesis and we'll be just continuing in that path. But it would have, if it was an asset sale from the start and not that whole the spin out of Hoover House and everything, would have been a bit different. But it still doesn't mean that St. Barbara shouldn't have sounded the market to get the best possible
outcome.
Totally.
Just remember what St. Barbara's share price did on announcement of that recut, right? It tanked. Mm. So it's not hard to imagine that there might have been an alternative that was better for them, for their shareholders, right? And we don't have really any good insight into the conversations had at the board level there, but, you know, begs the question. Did Silver Lake get a better look? You know, I note in the notice of meeting that St. Barbara put out on Thursday last week, they include, you know, a line there, I think it's on page 3, where they talk about transaction alternatives. And they say that, you know, they revisited alternatives at the point where the corporate deal ended. And yet this whole sort of hostile process undergoing with Silver Lake would indicate that Silver Lake didn't get a phone call. So it's a little bit confusing to me, to be honest. One side thinks that they weren't included and the other side's put out a notice of meeting saying that, you know, they reconsidered alternatives. So, you know, what's the real answer here?
Yeah, it's and so many grey areas. Like, should have they – do they – I'll revisit that. Do they have to give a strategy to get let in the door for a DD process?
Honestly, I can understand the perspective of St. Barbara wanting to – they want to know what the value of the Silver Lake script is going to be, and in order to value the script, they want to know what Silver Lake's plans are, right? So I can understand that perspective, but if it feels like this stage should have happened a lot earlier, right? In which case, you know, if you actually ran a sale process, you can go back with that comment saying, please articulate your assumptions. But the position of Silver Lake is that there was no sale process on the assets. It was, you know, a pretty pretty one-sided affair there. And I think that's a fair perspective as well, right? So as a result of kind of, you know, what happened back then, you're sort of now in a position where you just think, well, this all probably could have been avoided.
Yeah. And interesting to think back of the whole how this would have happened if St. Barbara's debt didn't get to the levels it did and Hoover, the whole Hoover House plan actually still went through.
And that's a really good point too, right? Is because, you know, maybe another reason that that Genesis got this basically kind of the deal was done with Genesis and it might not have been as much of an open deal to other parties for the sale of Leonora assets is because, you know, there was a waiver provided to the lenders which referenced a completed Genesis transaction. So, you know, Genesis was probably, you know, involved in kind of the assurances provided to the lenders. I think it's reasonable to expect that similar assurances could have been provided by other parties as well that provided some comfort to those lenders.
Now, if Silver Lake get in the data room, say they are granted due diligence and they get in the data room, what is going to be in the data room? Because a lot of it is from the previous year plus would be the, I guess, what where the mine is going forward with Genesis taking it forward, all the DD. Like, are they, what that would that info and everything wouldn't be handed over to Silver Lake to do their DD. It's just like, what are they looking for in the, what are they going to get in the data room that doesn't involve Genesis?
Well,
because they've been working in partnership for a long time now to get this deal going. I'll be interested to know that what actually Silver Lake will get information-wise or what they're actually mainly looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and if that's the case, I guess it kind of begs the question a bit because there has been no completed transaction here, and if the data rooms are a bit blurred between what's Genesis's IP versus St. Barbara's IP, and we don't know if that's the case or not, but it kind of just begs the question of should that be the case given there's no completed deal yet? I'm not sure, Matty.
Yes. Well, okay, now fast forward to – now these are all hypotheticals. This could have all been scratched off option one that we went through being done and none of this would happen, but this is going forward in the possible timeline if they do grant DD. So SLR, if they do their DD within the 2 weeks, hypothetically, if they submit a binding offer. Now, this situation. Now, you would think this binding offer will disclose the strategy that SLR want to employ to make Gwalia work. And is it with other assets? Is it in it by itself? Well, you would assume it cannot work by itself. There has to be a strategy. What is the strategy? Do you think this would be in this binding offer? It'd have to be, wouldn't it, Trav?
All of that stuff will come out during a two-week due diligence process. What are the things that are the uncertainties right now that you would reasonably expect to be ironed out? Well, in that two-week due diligence process, obviously Silver Lake would get access to the info that they want. They would provide St. Barbara with their answers to their assumptions about what they plan to do with it. At the same time, and this is a big one, right, Silver Lake would actually be talking to St. Barbara's existing lenders and seeking similar waivers that have already been provided. Because the lenders, what do they care about? They just care about getting their money back, right? So if that, as long as the lenders have some visibility on that, you know, it might just be a bit of extra paperwork, but you imagine it can be resolved in a two-week DD period. So there'd be some conversations with lenders as well in that process. All of that stuff gets flushed out in those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if that binding offer was then deemed by the St. Barbara board to be not superior. So let's say that binding offer was exactly the same conditions as this one, because this indicative proposal is an indication of what the binding offer might be. It doesn't say the binding offer, as you mentioned to me, Trav, they could go in and do DD and say, no, we actually want to offer a bit less.
Yeah, yeah. Look, in which case, then, I mean, there's a vote on the Genesis transaction and you see what happens there. I mean, it'd be pretty, it seems like a pretty low probability scenario that that Silver Lake would, that the St. Barbara board would grant DD, but then deem it to be not superior, especially as those things, those, you know, question marks get ironed out through the course of time. But, you know, I haven't seen too many instances of where that has sort of occurred, right? That'd be a bit of an unusual one to happen unless they backtracked on value in the intervening period of time, which, you know, could totally happen if you look under the hood and the value you thought was there is not there. So
what is not superior, Trav? Is it, it's not as simple as just the headline number, is it?
Mate, it's not. So, look, we actually have the definitions on this one, and it's actually a good point to bring up, Maddie, because we can go back to the
Because first pass you'd think, right, is there, so the headline number is 50 million greater. Why, how can they say that is not superior?
So taking it back one step, right, in order to grant DD to Silver Lake, you know, under their kind of, you know, fiduciary out, all that St. Barbara simply need to determine right now is that the competing transaction, which is this latest offer from Silver Lake, is or would reasonably be expected to become a superior proposal. So it doesn't have to be a superior proposal yet. It just has to be reasonably expected to become one, right? So now let's go one step deeper and look at what is a superior proposal. Well, a superior proposal there's two elements, right? One is that it is reasonably likely to be completed on a reasonable timeline, and, you know, and more favourable to St. Barbara shareholders than the Leonora sale, which is the one to Genesis. So look at the first point. They're reasonably likely to be completed on a reasonable timeline. Well, have a think about that one, right? Is it going to be a reasonable timeline? You know, Silver Lake have put forward what they think the timeline will be. You know, St. Barbara have sort of estimated that it will take a bit longer. Is it still reasonable? Well, I think that all hinges on what your perceived real risk from the lenders really is here. I think there's been a lot of pointing at this, the pressure the lenders are putting on them, right? But is it actually reasonable to expect that the lenders could sign similar waivers with Silver Lake in a DD period? And if that is reasonable, then, you know, you would probably just anticipate that it is reasonably likely to be completed within a reasonable timeline. And if the pressure from the lenders is like super harsh, which would be a bit strange, but if it's, you know, really, really high pressure, then maybe that's real risky, right?
I think, and that 1st of July day when that the timeline for the lenders, that isn't a, for people wanting to know, that isn't, if the deal's not done on 1st of July, St. Barbara go into administration.
No, it's a review. It's a review date, yeah.
So it's not like, and so the level of pressure is not known, but it that means it is reviewed on at that time.
Yeah, it's not even an event of default at that point, I think, Maddie. It's a review date. They would be in breach by the interest cover, you know, like ratio. Is it an event of default? I don't think so. I think it's just a review date, as best I can read into it. So, and the other element of what makes a superior proposal is it more favourable to St. Barbara shareholders than the Leonora sale. So this is where, you know, it gets a bit interesting, right? Is it more favourable? So how do you think about favourable, right?
And let's highlight the cash is the same, 370 versus 370. There is the break fee that comes into it, and St. Yeah. Barbara pay a bit more tax
so
on the SLL.
Cash in the door is the same, but cash that St. Barbara have left over to do something with is different because there's more tax to pay and there's a break fee to pay. So there's about $35 million difference in the cash that St. Barbara have to do stuff with at the end. So that does make a small difference when you're thinking about what are their future capital requirements, right? Because, you know, what are their capital requirements? They've obviously got to spend money on Simberia and Atlantic in order to make them valuable assets. So do they have to dilute shareholders and raise money to do that? They've just been so quiet on how much money they need there. It's frustrating, right? But they did give away a little hint in the notice of meeting that went out on Thursday. When you scroll down to the risk section, there's one risk that talks about future capital requirements, and it does say that it is likely that St. Barbara will require future funding to explore and progress its existing projects. So my read-through on that is that even under the Genesis transaction, this in all of the net cash that they have at the end of that, maybe they actually still need even more on top of that in order to kind of, you know, do what they need to do at their other assets. So it's a real consideration, like what happens to the on a per share basis, right? And the cash you have at the end of the day does matter. And the angle that Silver Lake argue is, well, you can just sell some of our shares.
Yeah, 94.8 million.
Yeah, which is again like a genuinely like valid perspective. You totally can do that.
Yeah, and I guess we've got to look at what St. Barbara shareholders are getting in terms of the scrip for either deal. Like, there's two situations. It's pretty clear what they're getting with the Genesis deal. So you're getting this integrated model with the Mount Morgans mill, Ulysses blending with the Gwalia ore, Tower Hill coming online to then process of Mount Morgans. You've got the Abril open pit also coming online. So like that is Genesis's strategy. So not as immediate, because Ulysses is still being developed. They said the end of this year it'll be actually in production, and you've got Gwalia as well. So not immediate, but a lot of growth in the future. Whereas you've got Silver Lake. So if what St. Barbara shareholders get for the Silver Lake scrip, so add Gwalia at this stage. So let's assume that they're only adding Gwalia. You've got exposure to a 400,000 ounce per annum producer. They've got operating mines. They're generating cash flow, but there's still that element of yet to be determined of what their strategy is with Gwalia. So they don't actually fully know what they're going to get with that Silver Lake.
Yeah, bid. I think
at the moment, until the binding offer gets put in.
So this is the argument about how do you evaluate, you know, the scrip consideration for both transactions. And I think, you know, both sides to this argument have pretty damn valid critiques of the other side. And so let's go through them, right? The Silver Lake side of the argument is that they have real assets underpinning the value of their scrip, right? They've got two operating mines. There's real assets there. There's real cash flow there. And if you look at Genesis is more conceptual value than it is real asset value. That's a completely, you know, valid perspective to have. I think we all can sort of see a bit of a management premium there. But then, you know, the St. Barbara side of the argument is that, you know, how can the market actually value the Silver Lake scrip? You know, how are we supposed to value the Silver Lake scrip piece? Because you haven't told us how you come up with the acquisition price. You know, you haven't told us where you actually see value in this asset. And again, that's a completely valid perspective to have. St. Barbara obviously own this asset, and they have a pretty damn good idea of what it's worth on a standalone basis themselves. And maybe they're thinking, well, we know it's worth a lot less than what you've offered here. So they're a bit worried about holding the Silver Lake scrip if that's the case, because that, you know, they think that it'd go down. So, you know, I think both are valid perspectives, and both when they kind of argue the point sort of fail to look at the weakness in their own argument.
Yeah, and it can be viewed like Silver Lake have got a lot of potential with Canadian asset, like big exploration footprint over there. God, they could bloody find lithium over there. Like, they do have the assets at the moment that are producing cash, but like back the management premium that you talk to about Genesis, it might be, people might dismiss it in some cases, but if let's look at like the asset that they're purchasing here. So Gwalia is one of the most difficult, deepest, very hot underground mines to work in. So if you think of what play does a management premium have for this, if you have a manager that don't know the situation at Leonora, but let's say there's a manager, this management premium that people really will want to perform and work for, that management play does come into play for getting an asset like this to deliver. Because if employee retention and everything is a difficult thing at mines like this. So if you add this so-called management premium, I think it is a bit of a big factor in this for Gwalia to work. So it's not to be dismissed anyway, put it that way.
Mm. So, Matty, I've got some talking points I'm keen to talk to you about things that actually kind of popped up before this Silver Lake announcement even emerged. So this Silver Lake announcement came Friday, right? There's you know, three talking points that I kind of want to touch on about things that sort of happened before this even landed in the week preceding it. So the first one of those things, Matty, is actually just got to do with some of the strange trade data we saw on the screens for Genesis shares on the 12th of May. So it's Friday, the 12th of May. And I just want to backtrack a bit and pave a bit of a timeline for the money miners here. On Thursday, the 11th of May, is when Silver Lake dropped that revised bid, where basically they improved the conditionality, but they kept the consideration components the same. And when they did that, you know, basically...
It made the ASX too, Trav.
It did. I think it was the first one that made the ASX.
Momentous occasion.
So when they did that, right, it kind of required St. Barbara to reevaluate it, and they basically said no to DD on that one. But St. Barbara came out with that no on a Monday, right? And why does that matter? Because obviously on Friday there was just, you know, free trading stock before there was this denouncement by St. Barbara. So, and when St. Barbara came out with that no, it actually coincided with this improved consideration piece from Genesis. So that all happened over the weekend and was announced on Monday, right? And when you look at that announcement of how the St. Barbara board came up with a no response, what did they reference when they talked about that immaterial value? It was immaterial 2% value difference. And all they referenced was the value of the two deals side by side in reference to the close price on Friday. So the closing price of, you know, both St. Barbara, the closing price of both Silver Lake and Genesis on that Friday, the 12th of May, matters a lot, right, in the way that the board evaluated their decisions. So it's actually worth taking a look at how did these stocks trade on that Friday, right? That's a pretty damn interesting point to raise, I think. And when you look under the hood a bit, what you can actually see is that they're referencing in the Genesis value, and they equate the Genesis value, this close price of $1.27.5 per share. But what was the VWAP, the volume weighted average price of Genesis on that day? It was only $1.22 per share. So how does that work, right? When you look at the minute by minute trade data, what you can actually see is that between 1:30 p.m. and 4:10 p.m. when the market closed, $561,000 worth of trades has moved the Genesis share price from $1.20.5 to $1.27.5. I think point number two was just like some things in the notice of meeting that St. Barbara put out on Thursday grabbed my eye a little bit. One of them I already talked about, which was the capital requirement risk, where they sort of disclose that it's likely that they'll need further capital in the future. The other one that really caught my eye was actually section 3.4, a voting and escrow deed. And basically what this section says to me is that while St. Barbara have a greater than 5% shareholding in Genesis, St. Barbara basically waive their right to vote on anything, and they just have to adopt the board's recommendation. So this is pretty strange to me. I can't think of too many occurrences where I've seen a clause like this, where it's like St. Barbara would become a bit of a second class shareholder. Their voting rights are just completely negated to the Genesis board for the period of time that they own greater than 5% shareholding in Genesis. I can't think of what their rationale in needing this to be baked into the agreement is, and I can't think of a precedent where I've seen it in there either. But it definitely just stands out as like non-customary when I read this nom. And the third thing I was keen to talk about too, Maddie, was it's just in relation to the whole timing of the transaction. Like we're all fixated on this 30 June date, and it just feels a bit like that the narrative that's been put forward is that the lenders are putting St. Barbara under so much pressure that this deal must complete by June 30, otherwise it's all over. And I question where the pressure is really coming from, because it's not super clear to me, even reading through the NOM, like the realities of that lender pressure. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure the lenders are bloody frustrated and just want their money back. But how real is this time pressure? Because, you know, what you saw Genesis do in their latest revised bid is they doubled down on this timeline by requiring St. Barbara shareholders to approve the transaction pre June 30 in order for there to be this uplift in upfront consideration piece. So it's Genesis that have, you know, doubled down on this time pressure. And it almost feels like a false timeline in some ways that sort of, you know, maybe I just don't know. Where is the real time pressure coming from? Is it coming from the lenders? Is it coming from Genesis? Or is it both?
And I think we discussed before, they're two separate time pressures, because the Genesis time pressure is like you get more upfront if you get it sorted by this date. If you don't, then it goes back to the original deal. So, but the lender time pressure, as you said, we don't know what the pressure is. At that July 1st is a review date. So the lenders don't get any benefit if they sort it out before June 30, because they're going to get getting their money anyway from the deal. St. Barbara get the benefit if they sort it out before June 30, because they get the immediate upfront shares instead of having to wait for Tower Hill first door. So, yeah, it corners
the St. Barbara shareholders in some respects. Let's say it removes the ability for there to be some extension to the lender waiver because otherwise there could have been some extension to that waiver agreed, but now you kind of have to put that to the side and shareholders have to decide ASAP absent any possible extension. That's the way I think about it. So I think that, yeah, there's pressure from both sides as I see it, but you know, we can see in the docs the pressure from Genesis in the way that consideration piece is structured, but we can't see clearly what the real pressure from the lenders is.
And I think the pressure would be also coming from Genesis, because they're about to start developing Ulysses and everything, and they want the deal done. Like they want it done right now. Gone on. They had the deal previously. St. Barbara have then gone into more debt, which ruined the whole Hoover House idea, and then they've had to recut it. And I think you can be perceived as pressure, or it's like, look, this is the deal. We need it done now. We've waited long enough because it's been going on for so long.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And look, that's totally valid that they want to put that pressure on. But the real kind of question is, what sort of decisions did the St. Barbara board make that get the best outcome for their shareholders in that process?
Well, do you think that, and this comes back to that fact of what the St. Barbara board have done during this process of not letting Silver Lake in the door previously and leaving it letting it get to this stage, if they did open the door up in that previous 12 months and this could have all been possibly resolved or possibly a better offer could have got in. But
yeah, the St. Barbara board might say that they never got any indication of value in prior communications from Silver Lake, and so they never felt like there was any weight to any of their interest. And Silver Lake might say, you've done an asset deal and you didn't pick up the phone to us, but we were actually keen to pay more, as evidenced by these announcements, but you didn't ask the question. We're just speculating on what's happened here, right? We're just based on the public info that's out there, but you know, they're pretty damn valid perspectives to have. So Maddie, when I saw that this Silver Lake revised proposal come in, I was kind of scratching my head a bit as to why maybe they weren't a little bit more creative in their deal structuring. So bear with me here, right? Because
you've got a theory, don't you?
I'm not a theory. I've been trying to put a line through like what all of the other options Silver Lake had up their sleeve, and why didn't they do things in a different way, right? Because you look at this bid straight away, and because the conditionality hasn't moved much, you sort of just think, oh well, St. Barbara will stand behind the conditionality thing. But I'm curious as to why they've structured things the way that they have, right? And especially in relation to the debt piece. So I'm sort of thinking of it, and because we just talked about that, you know, potentially fake timetable. It's a real timetable, but it seems like, you know, pressure to get this deal done by this date because we've got to pay our lenders on this day. That's the element that's thrown into this whole conversation, right? And I'm just trying to wonder in my head, why haven't Silver Lake put forward a proposal where they basically offer to pay down St. Barbara's debt on this risky date? They provide that sort of cash solution upfront and early, of course, in the process becoming a secured lender to St. Barbara. And they have to accept some completion risk in the process because there's no guarantee that they actually get Leonora without shareholder approval. So I was just sort of thinking about, that was the first sort of line of thought in my head. Why haven't they done something clever like that? And I think some kind of valid critiques to that kind of arrangement.
Risky.
It's super risky, right?
Like, and without any shareholder approval or binding offer.
Yeah. And, you know, if they're the lender and they want to do an asset deal, there's are there some related party complications as well? It seems like a bit complicated because debt docs take quite a while to produce. So that was one thing in my head. Another thing I thought of too was a critique that St. Barbara are going to bring up time and time again is the fact that Taurus need to do DD, and we don't know how long Taurus are going to take to do DD. So, well, they could have mitigated that point by having a fully funded acquisition facility, or not an acquisition facility, but actually just a corporate facility. So a corporate facility would take security on Silver Lake's existing assets. And then you wouldn't have this requirement to do DD on Gwalia if the security is Silver Lake's existing assets. So you might question, why didn't they do that? Because it negates that critique. And I think the answer to that is just that it would take too long to happen, because Silver Lake, they have hedging arrangements in place with banks, and in order to get those facilities in, it requires these intercreditor arrangements, and big banks take a long time to do all this work. So it was just a bit too tricky, whereas Taurus can move a bit more nimbly and ultimately, but they need to do DD on Gwalia in that process.
So it seems like the only way that this would become a possibility is if St. Barbara voted in favour of the Silver Lake deal and it dragged on past that July 1st and the banks foreclosed the debt and said, no, this, if we don't sort it out right now, it goes into default, then Silver Lake would then buy the debt. Because I can't see Silver Lake putting
where's
this
the vote,
money up.
Where's the vote on the Silver Lake deal yet? There's, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, yeah, there's but no, there's no vote put to shareholders at this stage or anything like that. So it's just,
but they definitely wouldn't do this in this non-binding stage. I don't think they'd flick cash out like that.
Yeah, totally. Mate, it's completely it's a bit reckless in some ways to be so, loose with your cash on something that you haven't done due diligence on. I'm just spitballing what are all the other scenarios. I don't have good answers here, but I'm trying to, put a line through why I've still done what they've done. So I think there are some complications if they tried to structure the funding piece a bit differently. It could be a bit, that maybe it might come to one of those, but who knows, right? Time will tell, I think.
So do you think would there be a reason that if it did drag out that Silver Lake would buy the debt?
I think they could be motivated to do that at some point. Like think about the scenario where the Genesis transaction does not get shareholder approval. So if that transaction doesn't get shareholder approval, then you're looking, St. Barbara's basically looking down the barrel of a big funding gap, which is going to result in an event of default, in which case, if Silver Lake haven't got an alternative proposal up and recommended by the board, then they'd be pretty well equipped, I would have thought, to move in any process where there's an event of default and potentially buy that debt. I honestly think that kind of fits the type of dynamic they did with Heart Gold. But whether that's their objective right now, I'm not so sure.
But that the only way that the Genesis deal would get voted against, you'd need Baker Steel to vote with L1, but then you'd need the board to be recommending it too, wouldn't you? Because the ETFs will vote with the board.
We did our bit on some of that, how are all the shareholders going to vote. I think you can probably create enough noise from, normal shareholders in this piece, and if Silver Lake wanted to buy shares themselves, then they can create an impact there too. So I think you can have an impact. You can probably get to a place where you can have an impact based on the long-only shareholders. I think it's tricky because a lot of those shareholders are also shareholders of Genesis. So there's just a tricky pathway there. But just speculate here, right? And imagine there is a pathway to get voted down.
And remember, we are talking about things that are very unlikely because these are permutations based on the fact that they even get let in the door, which is not even yet determined. So, yeah, we're forecasting here. Sorry, what were you going to say, Trav?
So I think the place you're getting, Matty, is it's a little bit like, what is Silver Lake's real intention here, right? Because we've talked about a scenario where maybe they could buy the debt in a more distressed dynamic because the Genesis transaction gets voted down. And there's definitely, like, you know, the noise on the street is that this is Silver Lake's plan. Their plan is to create enough noise and create enough support against the Genesis transaction that they can actually then be a bit more opportunistic and get a better price. And I think we have to consider this angle on its merits, because I don't think you can necessarily expect that Silver Lake is going to be righteous towards St. Barbara shareholders and want the best possible outcome for St. Barbara shareholders. So maybe they are trying to be opportunistic, but if they were, it just doesn't quite stack up why they've bid what they've bid, right? They haven't come out with, you know, an absolute knockout premium, which the St. Barbara board would really struggle to say no to.
If it was 900, it would have been sold, sorted.
Well, if Silver Lake wanted to agitate, and that was their only objective, was to agitate, they would come here and they would bid 900 million, and then the board would have no option but to say, okay, you know, they look a bit damn silly if they don't, right? And if they did that...
For everyone's info, they're not bidding 900, they never will, just saying, but they're all very hypothetical this episode.
Yeah, and if they did have this knockout premium, then it becomes a lot harder to defend denying them DD, and then they could agitate. So the whole kind of rumour that Silver Lake are agitators, I can see the perspective, and I can see how it, that buying debt sort of lines up with their historic transaction appetite, but it doesn't make sense from the fact that they've just, you know, they've bid a fair premium. It's not a knockout number. They're not trying to force the door to be open. They're basically arguing on rational points and a value that looks like a fair premium. I don't know how you go about sort of backing out what the real value of Gwalia is on a standalone basis, but I'm also not convinced that they're trying to agitate here. I can see both sides of that.
Yeah, and as you said, if they're going to agitate, they'd have to go well and above, because you've got to take the break fee, the extra tax, and because the big thing is, what is St. Barbara left with after this to pay the debt and then possibly service these other assets that are in distressed situations.
Totally. And like, even if their objective here isn't to agitate, like, if they do get granted DD and then let's think about what the St. Barbara board is validly fearful of, right? Because their fear, I think, if I was the St. Barbara board, my fear would be that if I grant Silver Lake DD right now, if I say, take a look, then what happens if Silver Lake do DD and realize that the true value of Gwalia on a standalone basis is a lot lower than what their bid is, and then Silver Lake withdraw their offer, what happens to the Genesis deal in that situation, right? Because, like, and I don't have the answers here, but if from just from an optics perspective, what does the market do if Silver Lake just, you know, say, sorry, what we thought was there wasn't there? Does the Genesis share price tank because the market thinks that Genesis is now paying too much as well? And if the share price does tank, like, what happens to the commitment from the equity holders to pay $1.15 per share if the share price trades a lot lower than that? How firm and real is the equity commitment there? Like, I don't have the answers. I'm just sort of talking about the considerations.
That's an out there hypothetical, that one, I reckon, because they're not going to say they're going to do DD in 2 weeks and then go in. And I think they've got a pretty fair idea that they're going to, what they're going to see in the DD and what they're going to say at the end of it. I think the put to go in there and then pull out and drive it down, I think that's pretty out there.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would, the reputational element on Silver Lake, it would look bad, right? It would look bad, if, especially if that's their intention the whole time, right? It would look super bad. But it's not, you know, beyond the realm of possibilities, because if Silver Lake were absolutely certain that the value was there at that price, they wouldn't have a due diligence condition. Now, don't get me wrong, like, it's utterly reckless as a, you know, as management to your shareholders.
Imagine trying to get that one over the line.
Mate, it's completely reckless to go out there and say, you know, we're going to pay X amount without due diligence. But if they were absolutely certain, you would do that, right? So there is a chance that you do DD and value's not there. That's like, it's a legitimate, like, possibility.
It is a possibility.
And
yes.
And what, you know, and if the St. Barbara board, who has knowledge of what the real value of Gwalia is, and maybe the values are bloody lot lower than the 700 odd million, they'd be super worried about that, because what does it do to the Genesis transaction if Silver Lake, you know, bloody withdraw midway through? And so, like, think about that as like a possible scenario. Imagine, I don't know how firm all the equity commitments is. I know it's firm when you do a placement and all that sort of stuff, but because the deal maybe changed a little bit in between, is all of the equity firm? Like, I don't know, right?
It is, like, let's say if that did happen, Trav, Silver Lake pulled out, can Genesis then say, well, considering they're not even in it now, can the deal go back to what it was before we had to put the premium on to go over the top of them?
Well, I think,
oh, they didn't
think
go over the top, they sweetened it.
I think if that circumstance happened and the Genesis deal fell over because of the market perception, then you can't bank on Silver Lake, you know, bloody being a good steward in the process. They might be opportunistic and they might just want the best outcome for them and get things on the most accretive price for them. So, you know, absent what their intentions are right now, and you look at what value they've bid, it doesn't look like they're trying to agitate, because they haven't bid 900, they've bid, you know, 700 odd. So absent what their intentions are right now, they could still become opportunistic if that scenario came about. You can't, you know, guarantee that they're going to remain good stewards of St. Barbara shareholder capital. They're sort of, you know, their mandate is to do what's best for the Silver Lake shareholders. So it's just, there's a lot to weigh up here. And I think, you know, the St. Barbara board is going to be worried about this scenario analysis. It probably shouldn't have gotten to this stage, but now that it is, I wonder if this scenario analysis is part of what they consider their fiduciary obligations.
Right, we'll have to sum it up at some point, Trav. We can spitball hypothetical. I love spitballing hypotheticals, and we probably should have put some probability ratings to some of them. Those are some of them are very unlikely, but
I think that's the thing, right? We probably raised more questions than we've answered in this chat, Matty.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Until we get the decision from the St. Barbara board, whether they're going to engage or not, it's all hypotheticals until then.
I can tell you how I sort of feel as a commentator. So I've got no horse in the race. I don't own shares in any three of these companies. I just feel like there's no good team to be rooting for.
No one's winning at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think.
As an observer, you look at it and you just think, it kind of feels like a bit of a blurred line at times of where St. Barbara ends and Genesis starts. And it doesn't feel so good, right? But also feels like, you know, Silver Lake are withholding their real intentions too. So it's gamesmanship. It's a hard strategy for Route 4 as well.
But do you think if they, and I know I keep going back to this point, do you think if they didn't withhold their intentions that this would be going a different way? Because we don't know what Silver Lake's intentions are yet.
I think you can do the what if there, but you could also do the what if St. Barbara opened it up to more parties at the stage where, you know, I think you can keep going what if. Based on where we are now, I think, you know, we expect St. Barbara to say no based on the risk that, the conditionality element, and the real risk they'll be worried about is that the deal with Genesis would fall through if they said yes to Silver Lake. That's what I think.
Yep. So your prediction is they won't let them in the door.
Mm.
Case closed.
I don't think it's case closed, mate. Like,
well, what happens there if they don't let Silver Lake in the door? Silver Lake then have to put another improved bid in?
Yeah, they get,
like they don't have a leg to stand on, really, do they?
Yeah, and look, mate, we should definitely make this point too before we end the day. I really want to see in St. Barbara's rebuttal that they put out some comparisons to some proper numbers, not just the last close of the Genesis share price. Can we get some analysis in reference to VWAPs that are actually relevant? That would be great, and I think would be greatly appreciated and a bit more honest to the market about what the real premiums are in this, and what do they do? So like, yeah, I think Silver Lake are probably going to they probably sweeten things a bit more to make that premium point become even a bit more prominent. Similar to what we've seen them do so far, they're just going to probably try and get noisier and louder. And I think it all depends on what their real intentions are, Maddie. Because yeah, if it is to agitate, then TBA. But if it is actually to play the value they're talking, then maybe they have some up and bound on what they'll actually offer here and pull back at somewhere where it's a bit too extreme.
Yeah, I think. Well, I guess my prediction. Either, I don't think they'll let it in the door either. And I think if they were going to sweeten the deal. And I think if they really wanted to let in the door, they would have gone higher. Like I don't know if there's any more room for sweetening for Silver Lake, because they would have. They knew the risk that they were taking in putting the, like as we figured out, around an 11% premium. It's not a knockout thing that is going to guarantee you getting let in the door if you really want it. And they probably knew that it needed to be higher to get let in the door.
Well, so I think the two options for sweetening that they'll consider is, like, let's see what St. Barbara's rebuttal is here, because St. Barbara might rebut on the basis that they're going to have left less pro forma cash under the Silver Lake offer, in which case does Silver Lake just top it up with a bit more cash to answer that objection? And it wouldn't be heaps. It's like, you know, 40 odd million gets them over and above that. So do they just do that? Or then do they really address the timeline issue by offering sort of some cash solution up front for this lender issue and accepting some completion risk in the process? That's another option I think they, you know, could be considered, but also you could put a line through it pretty quickly if you deemed it a bit silly.
Yeah. There's no doubt we'll be talking about it tomorrow. When do you think St. Barbara's going to come back? Do you think it'll be tomorrow?
I think it's in their best interest to elongate their response as long as possible. I think there's a reason they haven't put out a real response today. It's because the closer this gets to the vote, you know, the trickier it is to actually rationally approve it, because you much rather the deal in front of you that's certain rather than the uncertain one. So the longer time goes on, the more kind of they have to stand behind saying no. So they'll probably come out tomorrow. It's the sensible thing to do. But I think in every move they do, you'll see them probably take as long as they have to.
Yep. Yes, I'll be surprised if they sweeten it from here. But hey, this could take many more twists and turns. Right, quick recap of other stuff. A couple of PFSs out. London Metals chucked one out for Baker, so just south of Kambalda. So short, sharp and crisp cash grab. 3-year mine life. So pre-production capex of only 18 mil. $145 million of post-tax free cash flow. So it's actually a cut and fill mining method due to the flat ore body and the ultramafic. You know what cut and fill is, Trav?
It's a type of mining method, isn't it?
Yes. Well done. Correct score to you. So they actually, instead of mining stopes, they do it all with jumbos and then do it in little lifts, fill it up with paste fill, work on top of it, supports the hanging wall in bad ground like ultramafic, and it's how you get. We talked about rilling of flat ore bodies. Takes that out of the question. So that's check out the PFS picture if you want to see how cut and fill looks like. And Oz Gold, they released another study for their Katanning Gold projects. This one's the scoping study. They had a PFS out previously. 9.7-year mine life. It's gone down a tiny bit, but the nameplate capacity has been increased from 3 million to 5 million tonne a year. And stripping ratio has gone from 9 to 4. So that's very positive. And they've added 500,000 ounces in the resource. And average, the annual production for the first years is 6 years is 155,000 ounces per annum. So
that's pretty high production profile there. So they go scoping here because they're including more inferred and they've got to, you know, meet the threshold for...
Yeah, so I think they're not including Maybe I was looking at the I've looked at two PFSs. I forget which one said which. One of them said there wasn't any inferred include. Maybe that was the Baker one.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely better outcome. So yeah, another that project's definitely sitting there waiting for a mid cap to come in and do something.
Yep.
Whether it's a JV takeover to get this one in development.
Needs a solution for the farmers there, but yeah, you expect there's a price a deal can be done.
Yeah. Right, Trav. Thank you very much, mate. This is weird being in JD's spot today. Better than bloody standing over there. I like it. I feel more involved. Good on you, mate.
Hooteroo, mate.
Thank you.
The information contained in this episode of Money of Mine is of general nature only and does not take into account the objectives, financial situation or needs of any particular person. Before making any investment decision, you should consult with your financial advisor and consider how appropriate the advice is to your objectives, financial situation, and needs.